today obviously is Halloween, but it literally means All Hallows' Eve. Okay, so Halloween has its beginnings in both paganism and in Christianity. So in the 8th century, the feast day of All Saints got moved from May to November to literally coincide with this pagan ritual. The Celts celebrated this time of the year because they believed the veil between the living and the dead got really thin. And Pope Gregory III thought this is such a pagan activity. I'm going to switch, put the All Saints Day, which is a holy day, to November 1st. So the word Halloween is a Scottish form of All Hallows' Eve. Hallows, saints. But when we look at our culture, I would just say the pagans won. You know, like people going around aren't thinking of, hey, November 1st is All Saints Day. They're not thinking of that at all. The thinness of the living and the dead, that veil, is closer. That idea is more connected to how people normally think. Now, the fact is not everyone thinks about the spiritual realm, but you don't need to think about it in order to engage it. Having gone to Gordon Conwell, South Hamilton, Massachusetts, Salem, Massachusetts was really close. And this is a high holiday. And so the witches and people who are doing black magic from all around the world will fly in and celebrate. Some for fun, some are serious, but when people gather in any name, there's a kind of power. And so there was always some weird activity in that part of the world, Northeast, you know, Massachusetts. And so even now, I mean, it's fun for a lot of kids, but every once in a while, some weird things happen, you know. I believe last year, a lot of people got killed in Korea. It was a Halloween party, and people got trampled to death, you know, in Itaewon. Okay? And so we pray, Lord, for protection over people here. We're celebrating Halloween, Lord, even in the midst of celebrating darkness, really, Lord, may you shine and encounter people in Jesus' name. Now, today I was going to talk about singlehood. Really interesting. I'll save this for later. Okay? And so today, combination of being Halloween and then having been to Lancaster, Holly Noble got ordained. So, you know, I drove up to... She gave an address for Salvation Army, you know, like 25 South Queen Street. I'm going to say, they're going to have the ordination in Salvation Army? But then she had said Lancaster County Convention Center. So it's like right across. And I didn't know what was going on. I go in, it's like 5,000 people. Voice of the Apostle, you know, like Randy Clark, Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson walked past me, you know. Can I get you? I didn't do that. It's like, hey, I know John Arnott, too, you know. But it was packed, 4,000 or 5,000. I mean, it was packed. And so while I was there, I wasn't there that long, just 2 hours. Holly and 24 others got ordained, and then Randy gave a teaching on impartation, which is really good. He kind of tied in the Christian early church understanding of ordination. When people did get ordained, there was always laying on of hands, you know, and releasing of spiritual gifts and commissioning. And so Randy made a point. Sometimes you get the sense of God's calling, but it won't be like 10 years or 15, 25 years later until you're released, you know, by other people, church. But then he prayed for not just the 25 who were getting ordained. He prayed for missionaries. There's so many missionaries. There are people from 28 nations. And then, right before I left, he prayed for people living in countries where if you're a believer, it's dangerous. You could die. There are people from Africa that came up. If you're living in, you know, Sudan, Nigeria, it's dangerous. If you're living in China these days and you're a church leader, you could get arrested. You know. So there are places, and Randy gave a nice little message about the church, Paul, and facing persecution, their prayer was, Lord, pray that we would preach to God, preach the gospel boldly. It wasn't like, give us safety, give us it easier. It's like, persecution's coming, let's face it and do it even harder. Like, so if they send us to jail, we don't mind. Like, so God answered. In the face of persecution, it wasn't like, protect us. It's like, well, help Jesus. Help us to preach more boldly. And so I was there really moved, you know, like, you know, so many people there. And so when I was driving back, I was kind of thinking about tonight, and I felt like the Lord wants to say to you, it's his desire for you to experience more of him and the spiritual dimension. Okay, here's a very simple analogy. Okay, all of you have known me with glasses. But until my sophomore year, I didn't wear glasses. Okay. I realized I needed glasses because in school, like, the chalkboard, like Mom, why? And then once I got glasses, like, oh my goodness, I needed glasses all my life. No wonder when I play little league baseball, like when in dusk, when the sun was setting, I could barely see the baseball. Man, I could have hit better. Like, it's because I couldn't see the ball coming at me. And plus, I think I should have stood more open. My right eye is more dominant. But anyways, a lot of different thoughts. And why do I wear glasses? For the simple reason, I want to see clearly. Okay. And then as you get older, you know, if you're losing your hearing, you want to hear better. Okay. Think about all your senses. If you are cooking, you want to be a super taster. If a chef has dull taste buds, don't eat their food because he can't tell the difference. Okay, you need a chef with sharper taste buds than you. Okay, and so all of our senses, we want to be sharp, and the Lord wants our senses, spiritual senses, to be sharp. So I'm going to do a little teaching. I'm going to interview a few of you, and we're going to do some impartation prayer. So if we could show the slide. Okay. So the first three slides are about seeing. Okay, I'm going to read this passage. Okay. When we read the Bible, we got to remember that the Bible, the characters in the Bible are human beings. What does that mean? That means they're just like us. Okay, there's no like superhuman, like the human characters in the Bible, Elijah, Elisha, David, Moses, they are flesh and blood. Apostle Paul, flesh and blood. And the second thing is the God of Scripture is the same God we worship. God of the Old Testament, New Testament, and God of our life. God hasn't changed. His nature hasn't changed. His power hasn't changed. His desires have not changed. Okay? And one area that we want the Lord to sharpen is our sense of seeing, spiritual senses of seeing. Okay? So I'm going to just read this. Israel is in battle with the Arameans. And to Israel, like, wow, this is a pretty mighty group. And so I'm going to read from verse 15. Oh, great. Yeah, when the servant of the man of God, that's a servant of Elisha, got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses had surrounded the city. Oh, no, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Okay. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. So at this point, the servant is like, you need to get your eyes checked. Okay. Because at the natural physical level, the Aramean army is much, much greater. Okay, next. And Elijah prayed, open his eyes so we could see the black. Okay. What's that? Oh, okay. So there's demonic activity. In Jesus' name, we cast out the demons in the computer system. And Elijah prayed, Lazarus, rise up. Okay, back to resurrection. Here we go. I'll read. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Verse 18. As the enemy came down toward him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. Okay, and so what's the scene here? Elisha is moving with this anointing or gift of seeing into the spiritual realm. So when he sees the angelic horses and chariots. And this is exactly what David sees. David's never terrified of Goliath because when he's in battle, when he looks around, like the armies of the living God. So it's not like David has amazing faith. He sees Goliath is doomed. Because what David sees spiritually is, wow, God's army is all around, and there's just one man. Like, he's got no chance. It's not like he was hyping himself. He was basically reacting based on reality of what he saw. Okay? Elijah's the same. He looks around, oh my goodness, the horses and chariots of God's armies with us. So he's confident. His servant is like a normal human being. He's just like, oh my, wow, that army is so much greater. How in the world are we going to fight against this army? And so Elijah prays for the servant's eyes to be open. And so this is the gift of seeing the spiritual realm. Okay? And we're going to pray for this. Okay? Now, in this scene, it's a very vivid experience for him. Okay, but we will pray, we're going to pray that the Lord opens our sense, our spiritual sense of seeing. Okay, and that could be angels, it could be the demonic, it could be seeing God's power, presence, it could be this horses and chariots, which is an image that they understood. You know, God is revealing his power. It's not literal horses and chariots, but it's the show of the power of God in the language, in the imagery of people that understood what horses and chariots. And these days, it could be tanks, I don't know, warships, airplanes, you know. Okay. So seeing, there's the physical seeing, and there's the spiritual seeing. And you can see with your eyes closed when you're seeing spiritually, okay? The next sense I want to highlight is hearing. Okay? So this is in Acts 2:2. The Holy Spirit comes down, and when the Holy Spirit comes, it doesn't come in an inconspicuous way. It comes in a completely dramatic way. Okay? Let me just start with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. So they have a visual image, and they hear the sound of rushing wind. Now, I think the sound here is externally audible. If you're in that upper room, you're hearing it. You're seeing it. Okay. Now, the tongues of fire is spiritual, but everyone's seeing it. It's not literal fire. Okay. But my guess is sound of rushing wind is probably something that people are just hearing it. Okay. So sometimes the sounds we hear is what we would call externally audible. So just like a loud sound coming through the speakers, you can't discern, is that natural? Where is that sound coming from? One of the more incredible things that happened in Turkey with Andrew and Kent was music that continued to play even after the human worshipers lay down their guitar and trumpet. The music continued, and everyone's like, they're all hearing it. Okay? And Daniel's encounter, angel comes, Daniel sees the angel, hears, but the people hear sound. Okay? And so that happens. Sometimes there's an internal audible. Okay? And that is, your experience of hearing is as though it's an external sound. You can't discern the difference. But you're the only one hearing it, okay? So I had this very clear knock on the door, banging on the door. Twice, about banging on the door. Then second time, bam, bam, bam. And then I was afraid the sound will wake up Suzanne, so I just quickly got up and went downstairs and opened the door, and no one was there. But it was so loud, then I came back to bed, and it was 3:33. Then I went to bed. Then I woke up, I go, that was so weird. But I remember the digital clock, 3:33. I say, Lord, are you talking? Then he says, look at Jeremiah 33:3. And so this is right before Kenya trip, it's about seeking the Lord and finding him. But the experience that I had, it was a real loud knock. So I asked them, did you hear that? I don't know. But for me, I couldn't tell the difference. It scared me. And so occasionally, you might have that. You hear a voice or knock or some sound, and you cannot discern whether it's actual, like natural or supernatural. Okay, so we're going to pray for a hearing. Okay. The third is touching Suzanne's favorite artist, Marc Chagall. Okay, First Kings. This is Elisha's mentor, Elijah. Okay, this is First Kings. Okay, what's the passage again? Can we go back to the other slide? Okay, 19:5. First Kings 19:5. Okay. So Elijah is such a human, slightly bipolar, slightly. I'm not going to label him, okay? A little bit manic, depressive. He's when he's high, he's like, woo, fire! But then he gets depressed. Anyway, he definitely goes up and down, okay? Encouragement, And so he's having a bad day. He's like fleeing. He's scared of Jezebel. He's exhausted. Part of that, I think, depression has to do with fatigue. So he sleeps. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. Okay. He was hungry. He was tired. But the experience is touch. Okay. Angel touched him. And the understanding is he's asleep, he's woken up by the voice, but the touch.
Hey, hey, Elijah, wake up.
So that's another sense, touch. Okay. And some of you have experienced the touch of God, or, you know, Jesus tickled Suzanne. Would you stop that? You know, this is back in Connecticut. I shared with you hands of Jesus on my face and hot oil, and I can't tell the difference. It was actual hands or warm oil. Like, it just... or electricity or fire, you know. Okay. But that's a sense of touch. Now, we could add to that sense of smell, the fragrance of Jesus. I had a friend who's from Brazil, and he did a lot of deliverance, and he could tell what kind of demon is in a person by the sense of smell. He would smell the demonic. Okay. Not that, you know, it was like, physically, the only case where we smell something was like literal young Chinese girl who was demonized severely. Foul mouth, foul smell came out of her mouth. They put a plastic bag in her mouth so that people trying to do deliverance wouldn't be. So when I saw her, like, she had a plastic bag stuffed in her mouth. I go, what in the demon has a real bad smell. I'm like, really? They opened it up. Yeah, you're right. It's like smelling like garbage. Like, put it back. That's not like normal. Yeah. I said, yeah. Wow. Okay. And some people will smell the fragrance of Jesus. Suzanne's favorite Christian is a man named Padre Pio. And he carried the sweet rose smell. Rose. Everywhere he went, people would smell rose. Even when he passed away, his body would give off rose, smell of rose. Okay, so a sense of smell. Okay, and I'm pointing these out because these are how we experience the world. Seeing, hearing, touch, smell, taste. Okay. And so these are all transposed or translated into the physical, into the spiritual domain. Okay. Now, the one question is, why don't we experience it more? Like Elijah or Elisha. Okay. And I think there's two reasons. Okay. One is subjective. Okay. This is like our problem, okay? And that is, many of us are very naturalistic in our thinking, okay? Meaning, even if God were to show you something, talk to you, we don't really think, we don't have a category to allow God to speak to us that way. We just kind of, it's like being colorblind. We don't pick up the color. And that's part of our culture. Our culture is still very kind of naturalistic. I'm talking in general. Okay. Okay. And so if we don't have a category of what's possible, you won't pick it up. Okay. And this happens all the time in different ways, you know, like, I buy a Subaru Legacy, and then as I'm driving out of the lot, I go, oh my gosh, there's another Subaru. There's another Subaru. There's another Subaru. What in the world is going on? Well, before buying a Subaru, I was not really paying attention to Subaru. It's like I just didn't really pick it up. But as soon as I got one, it's like, oh, okay. And so if you don't have it, so to speak, you can't recognize it, okay? And so for a lot of people, because they think very naturally, if they're honest, they don't have a belief system where God is allowed to speak to them or show up to them, okay? So that's the subjective. It's a form of spiritual blindness. Okay. Many years ago, there was a prophetic man, anointed Elijah Kim, who was with us. He goes, hey, how many of you guys want to see angels? And we said, yeah. So he did a little practicum workshop at KPCR. Now, everyone close your eyes. Okay, then he says, close your eyes. What do you see? Do you see any lights? Yeah. And then he was training us. A lot of times when you see angels, you'll start with lights. Pay attention to the light. It won't just show up full on, you know. And so basically, that kind of teaching was a teaching for those of us who don't even consider the possibility of seeing angels. Just, okay. So that's the subjective. And the answer for this issue is to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be sensitive. I want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to touch you. I want to be aware of your presence, and I want to be aware of the spiritual dimension. Okay? The other issue is objective. It has nothing to do with you. Okay? It has to do with how God's interacting with you. Now, there are people where even without them asking, God's going to show up, and this is happening in different parts of the world. They're not asking to see a man in white, but then he shows up, like in the living room, like in the flesh. These Muslims are encountering Jesus in their dreams, visions, even in the flesh. They're not asking. They're Muslims. Okay, so these are just sovereign acts of God encountering people. Okay, that's one group. But a lot of us, God's not encountering us because we don't have not just the capacity or the category to understand how to discern his presence. We don't expect God to show up. Okay? We don't have a desire for God to show up. Okay, that's just what? What kind of prayer is that? Is that a request for to encounter the living God in powerful ways? And so if you think about the prayers that you actually have, some of you may not even have regular prayers. Lord, I want to experience you. Is that even biblical? Yeah. Well, Elisha is, hey, Lord, open my servant's eyes. Because he's not discerning the spiritual realm. Open his eyes. He's praying that this, okay, may he see what's going on. Okay. And so God does things sovereignly, but he also does things according to our desire. Okay. Lord, I would love for to encounter you. And then sometimes then that would translate into prayer for other people. Lord, show up. Show up in a vision. Show up in a dream. Intercept them. Make yourself real. Okay? So that's the objective. Okay? The last two is, dream is, Helen moves in dreams a lot, and so I'm going to ask her to just imparted on those of you that wanted. Others of you dream too. Okay? We had a season where a bunch of people were dreaming. I think it was Pastor Wellington. He dreams quite a bit, and we did some praying, and so like a whole bunch of people that did not dream started dreaming. Okay? So dreams are all through the Bible, the Old Testament to the New. Paul, with Macedonia, man of Macedonia, come. So Paul ends up in Philippi. You know, Joseph has a dream. Mary has a dream. What's one of the more interesting dreams is Solomon. Solomon receives the gift of wisdom not when he's awake, when he is encountering God in a dream. Solomon, what do you want? Riches, long life, power, whatever. I want wisdom. So he receives, he gets imparted with the gift of wisdom in while he's dreaming. So there's a real transaction that takes place. Okay. So dreams are fascinating, very powerful. Okay. And I would say one of the important part of my life, my calling, came through a dream. If I did not have this dream, October 2007, I would simply not be interested in house of prayer. But when God spoke to me in Chinese, it was an assignment for the rest of my life. Be involved in Kongcheng theology. How does God take a city? Houses of prayer. So God gave me a commission through a dream. Like, John, part of your lifetime assignment is to help houses of prayer because this is God's design to take over a city or a nation. Okay? I could not have come up with that. It was God speaking to me in a very intense dream. Kind of scary, beautiful. It was an intense experience. If I were to categorize, like put the intensity of that experience, both dream and regular life, it would be one of the top three. Okay. The vividness, the power, my heart's like pounding like crazy. Things I saw in the dream was vivid, 3D, high definition, sharp. I mean, it was like, wow, overwhelmed, you know. So God speaks in dreams. And then last one, visions. Ezekiel is so weird, you know, but it's really beautiful. Like, Ezekiel's book begins with a vision of creatures and UFOs and flying things, and it's just visions. And then, of course, Apostle John has the whole Revelation, Book of Revelation, is a vision. What is that? You are awake, but you're seeing things unfold. Dream is seeing things while you're asleep. Vision is you're awake and you're seeing things. Okay. These are in the Bible, and these occur more than once. The assumption is this is how God speaks. It's not the only way, but this is how God speaks. I know God wants to speak to you this way because it's in the Bible. Okay, I'm going to read Acts 2, okay, which is a prophecy of Joel 2. Okay, so I'm going to read this Acts 2. Bless you. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all peoples, all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Why the emphasis on prophecy, visions, and dreams? Because in the Old Testament, when the Spirit of God came, often it manifested, it showed up in prophecy, visions, and dreams. Okay? And so we are living after Pentecost. Spirit is being poured out. Part of the pouring out of the Spirit is not entirely intangible, invisible. It's not like you don't see it, feel it. You can't discern any difference before the outpouring or after. No. If the Spirit is poured out upon you, your experience of God should be different. Okay. When the Spirit of God is poured upon you, there should be some difference in your experience of God and in your experience of the spiritual realm. So
If the Spirit of God is being poured out and this is God's purpose, then it makes sense just for us to believe God wants you to experience more of Him, for you to have dreams, for you to have visions, for you to be more spiritually sensitive. Okay? One, I would say, crave for it, desire it. Okay? In the same principle of 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Okay? Okay? What's the assumption? God responds to desire. And so it begins with prayer. Basically, unless the Lord just sovereignly does it out of his own accord, you're not even asking for it. Again, God sometimes does it. But the other side is, no, God also responds to desire. And so my strong recommendation is have that desire. Now, I can't force that desire upon you. You could even hear tonight, go, well, I just don't have that desire. And then if I were to know that, I go, oh, that's so sad. I don't know how to respond. There's a part of me that doesn't even understand. Hey, I got $1 million for you. Oh, no, I don't want that. Like, I want to take you out to, you know, the best steak restaurant in D.C. I want to give you tickets to a round trip. Vacation to Hawaii. Like, oh, I don't want that. Like, so I don't understand. Like, you know, if I were to say something like that and you reject it, like, I'm thinking, you're not getting it. Like, this is awesome vacation. This is awesome steak. This is a lot of money. Like, what are you not understanding? Okay. And so if God Himself wants to give you that experience, the logical, rational response is, I want it. Okay? Now, some people may just be happy with their life. Well, I'm fine without it. Or they may be a little bit scared. Well, I don't want that. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going on in people's feelings. Oh, that's still a little weird. It could be you know, a collection of those things, you know. Well, I'm not quite sure. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with how I'm experiencing God now. I don't need more things. So, altogether, I don't know. Now, if you are thinking that way, I just feel sad for you, period, okay? I just feel sad. Because if I were you, and if I think God wants to show up this way, and He's going to respond to my desire. I want it. I want it. Okay? So I want you to kind of make some kind of inner talk to the Lord. I want it. You could just say it. I want it. I don't want it. You could say, I don't want it. Okay, I guess. I don't want it. I don't want it. No, thank you. Just give me the Bible. That's all I need. And just silence. I guess you could say that. Because, you know what? I want it. The wanting it really isn't about the coolness of the experience. That's not what I'm pushing here. At the basic level, it's similar to if somebody's blind, I want that person to see. Person is deaf, I want that person to hear. The person has no taste buds. I want to, because you could die from eating poisonous food. What is that? I want the person to be in touch with reality so that person can enjoy life and advance in life. So if your spiritual senses are sharp, you will advance. Oh, there's a demon. Or there's a demon. One time I was so tired, I was in bed, and Suzanne wasn't around. I'm in bed, and a demon shows up right next to me, and I could feel the mattress go down with his weight. I looked over. He doesn't have a shirt on. He's bloodied. He's like beaten up. But I look at him, but I'm too tired. I don't want to cast him out. I'm too tired. But I see him. I mean, this is one of the like very physical, visible experience. I'm tired. He plops down. He's trying to intimidate me. I could tell what he's trying to do. But I know I'm protected by Jesus. I look over and he's trying to scare me. I go, ah, forget it. I'm just going to bed. I don't even cast the demon out. I'm just too tired. Like you're being ridiculous. I'm thinking like, demon, you're being ridiculous. This Halloween costume's not working for me, okay? Okay? But I want to be aware of what's going on. And it tells me what's going on. Okay. The Lord wants you to be informed about what's going on. Okay. So seeing the demonic sensing, that's going to help you. Seeing angels at work, that's going to be encouraging. Okay. I had one visible experience of seeing an angel in China. It wasn't in my mind. It was just with my eyes right open behind a worship leader. I'm like, it's one of like, oh my goodness. I go, what in the world? Like, and he's moving. He's hovering. Wow, he must be like 10 feet tall, like 9.5 feet. I'm trying to like measure him. You know? I mean, it was so weird because, like, I'm more, like, captivated by the size. And I'm like, analyzing myself, you know, like, oh, it's like seeing a celebrity. Like, did you see the actor? Did you see the, and I'm there, like, no one's, the, you know, I'm just talking to myself, like, of, you know, like, Jesus, and for Jesus, is, yeah, you know. But that was really encouragement. Wow. There's angels in this church. There's a church pastor by a woman, English name is Deborah. She had the largest church in the city of Dalian. She was part of the government. One time persecuting the church, she encounters the Jesus. She becomes a pastor. All of her friends are still in government, and because of the friendship, they just let her be. And she's an incredibly powerful woman of God. And so her English name fit her, like Deborah, yeah. And so when I was with her and that church, I go, wow. So I knew that church was protected because they're like a big angel. Okay. And so experiencing God, living life with God is dynamic and exciting. Okay. And so we want these experiences, not for the sake of the experiences, but what the experience will help you. It'll increase your faith. It'll increase your confidence in the authority of Jesus. It will also help you to do ministry, how to pray, how to move. With courage, just like David, Elisha. Hey, I see the angels. No problem. Okay. When you see somebody and you see some demonic, you also know, okay, this person has some spiritual issues. That's helpful. Okay. 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 So it helps you to walk with God, grow in God, and be effective in God. All right. Any questions? Or, yeah.
So, Pastor, maybe you can share a little more about how Pastor Elisha Kim,
yeah,
no, Elijah Kim,
yeah,
did the exercise.
Yeah.
Because I think maybe for everybody it'll be helpful if, I just remember that some things that really helped me was some of the ways that, remember Ben mm-hmm. he came to our house,
yeah,
and
yeah.
He was kind of, and so there was the activation, the impartation, yeah. Just being with, yeah, him in our house,
yeah.
And he was going through that to show me and the kids and stuff. But, and it happened right away. But also, it was, he helped by telling me, and I don't know how it happened just like that, but like, for instance, if I was to say right now, with my eyes open to everybody, imagine an apple. Like, you don't have to close your eyes to imagine an apple right now. Like, already in your mind, you've already formed an image. Yeah. Whether it's red or green, you still form an image. Like, you don't have to focus. And you're obviously not seeing it right, you know, right here with your natural eyes. So there's a way to see through the imagination, but something that can be practiced and exercised and then honed. It's not like all of a sudden receiving a prayer that all of a sudden you see, because you're not going to be able to see it. But it's really recognizing it and sensing it. Yeah. So how did Pastor Elijah teach that?
Yeah, so I think his way of teaching is, I would translate that into principle. So when he did the angelic thing, everyone close their eyes. What do you see? We're going to practice seeing angels. And I think for almost all of us, we were expecting wings and fly, like the full-on angel. But he didn't say, okay, anyone see lights? Where? Over there. Right. So he picked out how an angel initially appears. Okay. Now, that kind of experience could be easily dismissed. Oh, I just kind of, maybe it's my imagination. So, and so there are experiences where it's full on, boom. You don't have to pay attention. It's like, whoa, I can't avoid not seeing this. But often the Lord will build up your sensitivity. So like in the, like seeing angels, okay? And so in terms of growing in the experience of seeing into the spiritual realm, there is, I would say, a process of learning how to discern. Like, there's a process of growing in discernment, okay? And I would say, first, is to, one, believe that God wants to, he wants to communicate with you. Okay, this is where unbelief is so powerful. If you don't believe it, you're not going to experience it. So you tell the Lord, I believe it. Okay? And then, I would say the second principle, not so much with Elijah, but what I picked up is, it's okay to make mistakes. This is not like there's no exam or test. Okay? It's okay to make mistakes. Okay? And number three is, I'm going to take the little things and I'm going to go with it. Okay? And this is how even prophetic works. I got one word, I got a syllable. Let me just say it. Because you want the whole sentence or the whole picture. Say that picture, say that word. Okay? And so it's allowing yourself to make mistakes, and allowing yourself to explore, even using imagination. We tend to have a bad view of imagination, some of us. But the Lord uses imagination. The Lord uses pictures and images in our minds. And because these experiences are coming through us, it's easy for us to say, oh, that's me. But what if I tell you, maybe it's God. It's coming through you. And then you have, how do I know it's me and not God? And the answer is, at this early stage, you don't know. You don't have the 100% certainty. So let's play it out. Okay? And then, practically speaking, if you have somebody who's more advanced and discerning, then you could kind of do a check. And so that's what Elijah Kim did, or Ben did. If somebody, like in the area of discernment of evil spirits, you get somebody who's more experienced, he goes, hey, what do you sense? How many? Do you know the names? Then you could check it out, okay? And so at a basic level, I believe it, I want it, And I'm going to you know, grow and learn from it. Okay. And so in a church like this, conversation, follow up. Now with dreams, it's simple. You either have it or you don't, or you either remember or you don't. So I would say when you go to bed, just say, Lord, I would love to have a dream from you. Okay? You tell the Lord that before you sleep. And then right next to your bed, phone or notepad when you're starting out, and as soon as you wake up, try to recall the dreams that you had. Early on, just remember the dream. Okay? Sometimes if you remember one or two of the key details, hold on to that, then you could pull that dream. Okay? Okay. So write it down and then share it with, you could share it with Helen or somebody, and you could get an interpretation. Okay? So dreams are probably easiest because you're doing the least work because you're just sleeping. Okay? Yeah, but you got to do some work by paying attention. Seeing angels and stuff, practice, I would say practice with the eyes closed, okay? So, you know, so like at church, sometimes I'll see things not with, I'll be preaching, well, I'll be sitting in the second row here. I'm facing this way with my eyes closed, but I'll see things in the back, like bizarre. I'm facing this way, eyes closed, and oh, okay, there's some activity on my right shoulder back there. And then when I wake up, when I look up, wow, they are praying. Oh, there's something happening over there. Okay, so on Sundays, I'm more sensitized. So when I'm closing, almost every Sunday when I'm closing in after the worship, after the sermon and closing in prayer, I almost always get some visual what God's doing, light, angels, when, you know, like, and often I'll share what the Lord is doing. But it's not like me opening up my eyes, but closing my eyes and I just see in my mind's eye what the Lord is doing. Occasionally I'll look up and I'll see things with my, you know, with my eyes open. Okay. And so perhaps we could follow up with some training, you know. But even in your room, you could practice. Like I had Shin many years ago in my basement. Because, oh, you have so many angels in your basement. Pink and purple. What does that mean? Oh, those are royal angels. Like when Elijah Kim saw too, he came to our Presbyterian. He was like, he goes, this is a Presbyterian. Why are there so many angels? Like he was like befuddled. He's a Pentecostal. So he came and he was sitting in the KPCR. He sees angels. And later on he goes, I was confused. There were so many angels in a Presbyterian church. And then we were with Cheyenne at Hilton Hotel, Westin Hotel. And so I was with them. And he's like, I know God's at work, but there's no angels here. He's like, he was befuddled, like, God's at work. I see the Holy Spirit at work. And he just, you know, he was just sharing, like, I say, Pastor Elijah, what are you? God's definitely at work, but I don't know what. There's no angels. You know. So if you have worked with somebody who's got this sensitivity, then you can kind of measure or see whether you're progressing a lot, okay? But I think with the angels, then close your eyes when you're praying, like in your room, and allow yourself to imagine, allow yourself to see things, okay? Okay. And as you allow yourself to see things, that allowance and that practice will sharpen your sense. But if you don't practice it, you just won't grow in it. Okay? Do you want to say anything, Helen?
Oh, I'm just having my moment right now. Okay. So maybe this will be a word of encouragement to everybody, but many years ago, many, many decades ago, I didn't know much about the ministry of angels, but I just knew that, like, my prayer on a daily basis when the kids were young was, Lord, you know, dispatch angels to every corner of my house. Now, why I said that, it's because there was a lot of fear. So for me, it was, Lord, dispatch angels to every corner of my house, you know, to the bedrooms and to every corner. And I didn't think much of it. It was just, I said it sincerely, but that's all. Well, a couple years later, we had a friend who was a seer and very, very sensitive to the spirit. And my brother John and Kristen were in town, and my kids were home because it was summer. And so it was a daytime. So this friend had come over to visit John and Kristen, and he was talking about how his spiritual senses got so activated. And it was like the glasses, a whole new world. So because I had had a lot of supernatural experiences without the framework or the understanding or anybody else teaching me over the course of my life, but I didn't. Most of it, I chalked it up to imagination. But when he said what he did, all of a sudden, like, oh, I just met somebody I need to talk to. So I started talking to him and asking him to activate the children. And the boys were very young. They were little. Just like that. Just like that. They were seeing things left and right, and they were saying everything. So our friend, he was doing a demo. And then he says, well, let me show you. And then he says, I don't know what it is about your house, but you've got angels in every corner of your house. And I forgot about my prayer. I forgot about my prayer. And I thought, do angels like corners? Like, that's how silly my mind was. And it wasn't until he left. Protects. And then all of a sudden, the Lord reminded me, Helen, that's what you've been praying. So as I would like to encourage everybody, like, if only, and you know what that did was this. I have no fascination with angels. What it did was it increased my faith in the Lord. And I realized, oh, these are not simple words or simple prayers. Like, if our eyes could see what we're praying, if we could actually see with our spiritual eyes what we've actually been praying, whether it's for families, for friends, for healing, for the nations, if only our spiritual eyes could see, I think it would catapult us to the next level of praying big prayers that will shake the nations. So that's what ended up happening was those experiences, I had zero fascination with angels. I have zero and it's not like I could just see. It's not like that. For other people, I'm sure they can, perhaps. It's not like that for me. But when the anointing is really strong, the presence of the Lord is really strong, or when I'm in worship, you know, at home, when I'm soaking, when I'm in the Word, when I'm especially just worshiping the Lord by myself, like laying or anything, I sense activity, okay? And so that's when things start, you know, opening up for me. But it's not like I could, shall I say, turn it on and off. You know, maybe you grow into it. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. All I could say is, from my experience, I do. It helps me to close my eyes sometimes, not all the time, but like in church when we're in worship, like I'll sense things. Sometimes I will see, not every time. I can sense it, like, oh, I sense something dark here, but it's not like I'm seeing anything. So sometimes it goes like that. Sometimes it feels like a barometric pressure change. And sometimes I will see some things, you know? There have been many times where I felt like I was seeing, like, just not like birds, but just movement, like almost like, you know, long ropes, you know, and things. So I really want to, I mean, and that, you're, you know, I really agree with you, Pastor John, with that desire. Because if I took it very lightly, I don't know that anything would have happened. But I really did want to pursue, because I've had so many things in the past that I thought was just, you know, maybe it's wishful thinking, or I know that was supernatural, but maybe Maybe 80% of it wasn't, but no one was been able to, you know, teach me anything, right? And I really didn't find any books on it at the time. At the Christian bookstores. And so for me, it was like just all experience, but then I don't want to go off. And so it's not like I relied on any of that. But then after certain things happened and opened up for me, the Lord reminded me of some things. And I realized that was the Lord. And I thought, my gosh, Lord, I want my eyes to be more open. I want to be more aware of your presence in any way, in any shape and form that I could, like whether it's through smell, you know, through sight, through just sensing, just through knowing. Like you can't explain how you know, but you just know. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted it so much because it increased my faith. Mm-hmm. And it increases my faith to believe for more. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's why, for me, this topic is so so valuable, because if we take it very lightly, like, oh, it's fun. No, like, it literally, like, increased my faith. So once I recognize, oh, my gosh, I've been praying that for years when the kids were young. You know, Lord, dispatch angels to every corner of my house, right? And then here's another confirmation. We used to have a little dog, some of you may know, little Penny is with the Lord, but our little Maltese Penny, who loved worship, by the way, she was very super sensitive, a little Maltese. But I would be in prayer and in worship, and she'd be with me, and all of a sudden she'd go to the corner, and she would be on her two hind feet, and her tail wouldn't go like this, it would be like, is this guy a good guy or a bad guy? It'd be kind of like a little bit like this. Like, and then would look at me like, hey, you see this big guy? And she would be on her hind feet, like looking up with her tail going, her ears perked up. Nothing is in the corner. Natural, there's nothing in the corner. But that's what she would do. She did this. And it wasn't just one corner. It was two particular corners in the house. Okay? And Pastor John, one time you came to our living room and said, oh, this is pretty good here. Like, you said this when you first came to our house.
Your house has
it was
angels.
Living room. So anyway, I wanted to share that because Lord may just open the eyes of our heart, but open our spiritual eyes. Open everyone's spiritual senses. Lord, I thank you that it would be the 2 Kings 6 where the servant of Elisha, that Elisha said, open his eyes so he may see. So, Father, I just say that, Lord, even tonight, would you just impart even a real deep sense of joy and hope and confidence, Father God, that you are doing things beyond what we can see, but we want to see. We want to see. Amen.
Amen. As Helen's speaking, here's the main thing. You are the instrument. Pick up what God is doing. Your body, your thoughts, your feelings, your senses, your imagination. You are the tuning fork. You are the radar. Okay? And so we can't download Helen's experience into you. One, even if it were possible, two different people. Okay? And so as you're growing in this area, you will develop your own vocabulary, glossary, own history. Like with Andrew, Andrew Brunson, when he felt the presence of God, he would get this buzzy feeling in the back of his head. And he told Randy Clark that, because Randy had prayer, and Randy has the same thing. You go, oh, Holy Spirit is here, like physical sensation. Unfortunately, That disappeared when he was in jail. Okay, the presence lifted that sense. Okay, and so you pay attention to your body, pay attention to your thoughts. What Helen mentioned, often the angelic presence, I see better with my eyes closed, and it's a knowing. It's like, oh, over there, right over there, there's some activity. And that knowing is God's just speaking to your spirit. We have the Holy Spirit speaking to our spirit, and the Spirit is communicating. The Lord is telling me what's going on. Okay? And I often when I'm in intercessory prayer, I get really visual. I'll see the person. Sometimes I see the person in a conversation with another person, and I'll later on, sometimes, not that I want to like figure out what was said, but often I would catch actual words that were said. You know, this person said this, this person said this. Sometimes it's a little disturbing, you know. Then when I meet them by accident, I'll say a certain phrase or word, and the person, how did you know? I go, well, you know, I was in prayer, and, you know, it's like I am eavesdropping on phone conversation, okay? I'll see the scene, I hear a lot of the words, attitude words. That happens in walks, when I'm on my bike, it happens when I'm interceding. So when I'm praying for people, it's the Lord's way of helping me. Sometimes I'm not thinking of anyone, and the person's face just comes up again. And then I hear the inner thoughts of that person. And so a lot of this is internal. You know, I'm walking, running, riding my bike. I got to pay attention to the road and cars. You know, I'm not, but it's, and some of it's extended. I mean, I'll go, you know, 15, 20 minutes with, okay, what's going on? And then I'll check with the Lord, like, what's going on here? Then he'll give me some insights. This is happening, that's happening. I go, okay. Then I ask the Lord, should I talk to this person? I go, no, just pray right now. So a lot of back and forth, okay? But that's my language. I can't translate that to you. With the angelic, if you have young kids, a lot of your kids see it. They're the experts in the house. Work with them. Most of our young kids are super sensitive. The second heaven, they're sensitive. And the angelic realm, very sensitive. The kids are very much open, like Penny and the doggies, they're open, okay? Here's a principle. Dr. J, I was thinking of you, you're a painter. Don't be stingy with your paint. Just dab it on, put a lot of stuff. Don't worry about the cost of the paint. Squeeze out the tube, make it thick if you think it's worthwhile. Express what's on there. It's better to have a lot and be a Van Gogh than to save money and do it really thin. And so when it comes to the Lord, play, enjoy, explore. Just be, those who are going to be a bit more generous and wrong and messy or maybe too imaginative or too spiritual, they're the ones who will grow. The ones who are afraid to make mistakes, who are stingy, I don't want them, they rarely grow because they don't allow themselves to handle the stuff. Okay? So the people say, oh, I see angels. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, that's just your imagination. I see. Over a period of time, they're the ones who get sharper because they really want to see it. Versus like, oh, I'm afraid of making a mistake. Do you see an angel? I just see some lights over there, but it can't be an angel. They rarely grow. Okay, so relax. Tell the Lord I want to grow in it. And then enjoy the Lord. And then play it out. And if there is a communication, you could confirm it. Okay? If God says something, he's doing something, then you jot it down and then you get on the phone or text. Hey, did you feel anything weird last week? Da, 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 da. I go, you did? And I go, whoa, that was angelic activity. Okay. Helen, I want you to release especially the dreams and, you know, other things that happen. If you can.
Thank you, Lord.
Raise your, yeah. Receive. I mean. Lord, this is the impartation, that you, which Lord. Helen's moving in.
Thank you, Lord.
She's going to release it, and you receive it by faith.
Yeah, and I especially pray for those who used to dream. I don't know if there are people here, but for some reason this comes to mind. Yeah. But people who, whether it was long time ago or just kind of haven't been dreaming or having dreams recently, like, you know, maybe in the past year that there hasn't been that many dreams, but you used to dream quite often. So I especially pray for those brothers and sisters here. But Lord, I thank you that you are the God who speaks to us in so many ways, in every way. Lord, you will always be able to communicate to us. So open, Father, I just release again and unlock people here, their whole dream life, that there be a desire and a faith to believe that you will speak to them when they are sleeping. They will speak to their spirits. And Father, you would just download things and to show them what you want to say to them and what you want to show them. So Lord, I just say unlock the dream life, the night vision, as well as the daytime vision, but the night vision, which is dreams, just be unlocked tonight, right now, in Jesus' name. So when everyone goes to sleep, Father God, that there will be an expectation and an anticipation to be met by you and to meet you in the middle of the night, and that you would give them the ability to retain the dream and to jot it down and to steward it. In Jesus' name I pray. And Father, I also ask and release even this whole supernatural encounters. Lord, just whether it be speaking during doing the mundane things in life and all of a sudden there's just something that happens, or even some things that are lost, like you lose something. I've misplaced several things, and I really ask, Holy Spirit, where is it? Or help me, or guide me, or teach me. I want to be led by you to find the thing that I lost. And not every time, but many, many times, I have found it. And it really was supernatural, because I would not have thought to look. And lastly, I did have a couple of real supernatural encounters where it really took me to another place of awe of God. Awe of God. Increased faith level, confidence in the Lord, confidence that he is doing much more what I cannot see than what I can see, and the time between the manifestation of something and then the declaration of something in faith, there is a time gap, and trusting God with that time gap. So Father, I bless each and every person here, that there will be an even a greater excitement in wanting to know you and wanting to know you better and wanting to know you well. And Father, I thank you. It's like a whole new world. And things where we used to, perhaps some of us used to see just bland, like muted colors, even our lens about life or ourselves, Father, even tonight, you're going to use our time to actually bring your view. So, Father, we say that your lens is the only true lens. It is the true reality. So I bless everyone here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Helen. Our church is blessed with people who are moving in authority and gifting. Suzanne, you want to release more of the Lord's presence? Okay. Here's a phone. I mean, not phone. Here's a mic. No. So I was reflecting on Suzanne recently. Like, every person she's prayed for the gift of tongues, got it. Doesn't matter who you are. And then in Egypt, like, she prays for people and things just break out. And I was telling our pastor friends, Q and Danny and Bruce, they would ask, hey, what's going on? Oh, we just, you know what? I think my wife's grown in a lot of authority. There's like a release of the presence, gift of tongues. And Pastor Danny was joking, maybe we should invite her for the retreat. I go, yeah. But I think the presence of the Lord, if you could release that, experiences of God.
Maybe if I could backtrack and going back to the desire, I always had, I would watch YouTube videos, I would hear stories, And I said, wouldn't it be so cool, like if I walked in the grocery store and people just felt God's presence? You know, and they would just be falling because they just felt God's presence. Wouldn't that be so cool? I was just thinking, and I would have like this like deep like longing for more of that. So, but I'm just so thankful to the Lord because whenever I go out to, oh my gosh, in Egypt or even that Chadman prime minister, from the government official, yeah, ambassador, yeah, she was an ambassador. And just the presence of God fell. And she never experienced the Holy Spirit. So she goes, what is this? And she was shaking in the car. She was talking to Travis. He's like, she goes, what is this? And she was crying, you know, she's Catholic. You know, she didn't experience this before. So anyway, so I'm just going to pray. I think what John is saying, in our hearts to be like a child, like a very simple, keep it very simple. Don't have your mind, you know, keep it very simple. If God is good, just believing God is good. I always tell him, God is good. He's all powerful. He's supernatural. He brought Jesus. He's intimate. And he did those miracles here on earth. And he told us we can do so in the same way. So if we could come just with that kind of simplicity and say, Jesus, I just want heaven to come down. That's what my prayer is. Heaven, I want heaven. And just what John was saying, today is actually where the darkness, where people believe the darkness and the heavens, you know, is closer. Heaven and earth is closer in spirit. So we're going to just ask. I'm just going to ask by faith. I know the Lord is right here, right now. Here, so we know, Jesus, you are here. You are here listening. And as I was sharing, it blesses your heart when we say, Daddy, I love you. When we have a desire saying, I want to be with you. I don't have an agenda. I just want to be with you. I just want more of you. Just very simple, like a child. I just want more of you. And it really blesses your heart. So that's what we want to. And if we're not there, Lord Jesus, help us to get us there, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, and so, Lord Jesus, would you come? And why we want heaven to come down on earth is so that our spirits would come and more in love with you. Like a child, we're more in love because we say, wow, this is amazing. I didn't know, God, you were like this. You're so amazing. So in the mighty name of Jesus, we know this could only happen because of the power of the cross and the resurrection. Lord Jesus, I say, in the mighty name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, come now. I say, Holy Spirit, come now. Come upon us. In the mighty name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, more. Lord Jesus, just like the soaking, we say more, Jesus. We say more. Get rid of the unbelief. Get rid of the unbelief. Get rid of the natural mind, Lord Jesus. I pray, replace it with your heavenly mind. That you say in the book, 1 Corinthians. Replace our minds and hearts with your spirit. May your spirit come alive in us. Come alive, come alive, come alive. Shokaladakai, shondarakai, holaladakai. I pray right now, I just ask right now, I say in faith, I want you to say out loud, start declaring angels right now. Where in the place? Start asking for angels and then ask God to show it to you. Shankalalalayotatarakai. Ho la 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 kandara kala la la kai. Ho la 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 yashatara kai. Shotara kandara kala la 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 ko. Ha la 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 kai. Ho la 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 kandara kala la la ko. Ho la 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 yandara kala la 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 kai. Ho la 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 kai. Open our spiritual eyes. Open our spiritual eyes. open our spiritual eyes in the mighty name of Jesus. It is in your mighty name. Shakalaraiko. Hola la 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 kai. Hola la 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 kai. Hola la la kai. Hola la kanshandara kai. Hola la 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 kai. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shandara kai. I want, John, I want you to, I think some of the folks I know saw angels, and I want you to ask.
Right. I did get an insider by Helen's, why the corner? These are watchman angels. Yeah, watchman angels. Because, yeah, just like a castle, you have watchmen at the corners. So I saw the angels in your house, corners, inside but also outside, watchman angels. You want me to confirm angels? No, there's activity over there. Okay. I'm just following. I'm a good husband. Following my wife's orders. Okay. Anyone saw or felt or sensed angels? Okay, you do it.
So what I'm saying, you don't have to know it 100%. Like, just like a child, did you see a light? Did you sense it? Because I know some of you guys saw it. That's the feeling I got when I was praying that, you know? Raise your hand, just like a child. Okay, so... you felt like you, yeah. Sungak, yeah. So, Sungak, I'm going to do an interview with you. What did you sense?
It was more like an army of angels, kind of like a soldiers, like just kind of soldier formation in my mind's eye. Not any kind of physical place here, but.
Yeah. Okay. Amen. Okay.
I just saw just like bright light, just. Even though my eyes were closed, that it was just a warm, bright light.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really believe that if you command angels, they'll go. So for my children, Kim's kids, like we pray for our children all the time. So whenever I go to work or even now, I always ask the Lord, that angel, guardian angels would just be upon them even now. So I literally see angels on top of my children, you know, but I know as we're talking, it's more like my thought or my imagination kind of being on top of them, right? But I claim that.
No, it's not just imagination. That's what John was saying. It starts with a little and then you grow in it. So that's why, so that's very encouraging. Anyone else? I just want to, okay. That's very encouraging, because that's the sense I got as I was praying, that some of you already were seeing angels, and it popped, you know, as we were praying.
The other thing, you know, I'm just so glad to have visited Voice of the Apostles, especially hearing Randy. Here's this man, the whole Toronto thing started January 20, 1994. But what I love about him is his boyish charm, childlike faith, and joy. The Holy Spirit was moving in such power, even this morning when I was there, people were just knocked out. But he did it with such a light touch and with joy. And then he read a passage about people being filled with the Holy Spirit and joy. And he said, joy is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That's really revival. And so if you have joy, you're going to laugh. But the joy, what happens in joy in the Lord is the focus is on Jesus, is on the Lord, not on you. So even this topic should not be heavy. Okay, this is, oh, no. It's like, I'm saying, hey, you guys want to go to Disney World? Yeah. All right, let's go. Because in Disney World, you're going to see a lot of fun things. And the Lord is basically saying, you want to see angels? Yeah. You want to see heaven? Yeah. You want to see demons?
Yeah.
Another thing I want to pray and impart to you all. My favorite mentor, like someone that I look up to, is someone called Padre Pio. He was a priest, a Capuchin monk, a present-day monk. The reason why I was so captivated, I was reading a book that a New York Times journalist wrote about him. He was just not even a Christian, wrote about his life. But he had so many supernatural experiences where, and so he was the priest that had the stigmata for 50 years of his life. And now, if you know what a stigmata, he had constant bleeding. So he had on his hands and on his feet. And it was the funniest thing, I have to say this, I'm sure I shared it with some of you all. Someone asked, how does it feel? Does it feel so spiritual? He goes, what do you think it feels like? I'm in pain. You know, he was not like, you know, he was like annoyed a bit. He's like, it feels, it's a lot of pain. Experiencing this, but a lot, he experienced a lot of healing. So in, I want to just, when I was reading his story life, that really captivated, is not only is it supernatural, that's secondary, but what captivated me, his deep intimacy with Jesus. Like everywhere where he was so tight with him. And because of his tightness with Jesus, it only expressed supernaturally. It was a fruit of his being so tight with him. And I said, Jesus, like if you're in the flesh. So I want to pray and impart. I feel like, and I think the Lord is like teaching me more and more about like, can we feel Jesus as the invisible God? Wherever we are, just you're right next to me. You're right next to me. So I'm going to pray for that for you all. So Jesus, you know, you came down on this earth and you died for us because you want best friends. That's why you did that. You want best friends. And so, Jesus, to make yourself real to us. So I just pray, Lord Jesus, you've already done it, that you would just open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to see that you are right next to us. That you are right next to us. That we would sense it. I just like even what Sammy wrote in life, like to know that even when we're tempted to do a sin because you're right next to us, it prevents us from doing it. It gives us the courage to make the right decision. When you're right next to us, when it's very lonely, we know that we are not alone. Not just in our minds, but we know it spiritually, physically, we know it emotionally. So Lord Jesus, I pray the gift that you have imparted to me, this gift of intimacy that I so long, and actually that's what our life is called for, actually. Eternity is being with you. So Jesus, would you open our eyes, our ears, our sense of the touch and smell, that we could experience you every day and each day, that your presence will grow stronger. It doesn't get weaker, but it gets stronger, like Psalm 23. That you really, truly will be our individual good shepherds. So Holy Spirit, I know that you so desire, that's why Jesus, you died on the cross for us. You desire for this gift that you've given to your children. So we just say we receive more of that tonight. And I pray that you take us to a deeper relationship with you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you, Suzanne. I'm going to wrap up. So interesting. Because everyone's a little different. Everyone's anointing is different. Everyone's going to glorify the Lord different. Part of it is you need to be you. You need to grow into your calling. Okay, like Suzanne, when she's like a free spirit. She's like a kid. She's like a redheaded girl with pigtails running around. I mean, you know, she's very free.
Helen is major. I mean, she's strong, conscientious, she's motherly, but she's a warrior. She could knock out Mike Tyson. I mean, so I think Helen has that, this kind of conviction, faith, you know. So much intimacy. Soyoung, well, she's gone. Soyoung. And Mia, I think the intimacy is so key for you. Like, you guys are like nuns in the sense of it's just like simple. I just want to be intimate, but as you're Mia, like I saw you like being intimate and the intimacy is so intense, it burns a hole into the ground. You're on fire and it's just private. It's just you and the Lord. You're not doing it for anyone else. It's just personal. And the fire, the intensity just burns a hole into the concrete, not wood, into the ground. Okay? So even as I'm scanning, I go, oh my goodness. Like, Seungak, I think you're made to be supernatural. And PT, definitely the prophetic. Okay? But I'm pointing these things up because you need to grow into it. That's your calling. And when you're called to be moving in a certain way, then you feel alive. Like PT analogy, bicycling. You take that away, he's going to be so sad. But you give him a bike, he feels alive. With Dr. J painting, you know, music, he loves music and painting. You take that away, research, creativity. He's more of an artist than a scientist. You take away the creativity, he's going to be miserable. And Rachel is a lover of people. She just wants to feed people and heal people. That's the main thing. You know, so grow into it, and the Lord will come. And Nancy, you're called to be a woman of authority. You have more authority than you think. So keep on praying. Pray out loud, too, in the house. Don't keep it quiet. Like, use your voice. Your voice has a lot of authority. And the Heidi, I see the nations, winds and nations, you know. So I'm just highlighting a few things, and then we got the mighty intercessors right here, Kimberly and Tina. So basically, God has a calling, and God has created you. You're not competing with anyone. The Lord's not asking you to be like Helen. There's only one Helen. Her job is to be Helen. Okay. Suzanne's job is to be Suzanne. And how do you do that? Listen to the voice of the Lord in your heart. And be bold. Don't be shy. Okay. Focus on him and do not leave any leftovers. Go all out. Okay. And so as you move into it, God's going to speak to you. And the Lord says, this is an invitation. This isn't like a burdensome, sad. It isn't. It's an invitation. After we're saved, everything is icing, okay? Everything is joyous. So, Father, I just want to close. And Linda, mighty loving intercessor. My friend here, I've never met a man of faith. Bless you, O man of God. Oh, bless you, man of God. Pray for G1. I'm just going to cover everyone. G1, the faithful one. She is the faithful one. So like people, well, she just keeps on coming up. She will not be. And that's been like a testimony. Just keep on getting up. It wasn't easy in the past, but now she's fighting for herself, fighting for her joy, fighting for God's purpose. And Joseph is the hungry man. He's like, he's hungry, and then once he finds food, he wants his whole village to be fed. So he's a man of great hunger, great generosity. And Grace is sharp, too. That's why she married Andrew, you know. She opened up her Sunday bulletin. Andrew's the man. So the ability to hear God, she's actually very prophetic. Wise and hardworking, but prophetic. flavor of God, but creativity. So Dr. J, I want you to think of not Dr. J, you know, MIT, Harvard, NIH. Just put that aside, okay? Just put that aside. Okay. Ask the Lord, Lord, how do you see me? I think that's your assignment. Lord, how do you see me? And you would be surprised by the joyful attitude he has for you. You'll be surprised. I just got a mentor, but I pray for Pastor Tom. Every time there's such a tenderness of the Lord for him. Like, I'm just amazed. Like, there's never an occasion where there was any harshness. Like, oh, like zero. And that extends to the kids. There's some, his family. There's something about PT. Like, if the Lord sees him, it's always 100% tenderness. 100%. I can't recall one time when the Lord like wags his fingers like, I'm going to get you. Never that. Never. So PT, the Lord has never been angry with you. He's never been, I'm going to get you. You're failing, I'm going to hit you. Never. If you think that, that's of the devil. Because every time I pray for you, it's just this tenderness. Like the heart of Jesus, it's almost like a mom who wants to feed him. And I just want to share, like I was telling Suzanne that last week, I go, well, I don't know what it is, but the Lord is always tender. And that's been highlighted for Christopher the last couple of weeks. But PT, I'm here to tell you, I've known you for many years. There was never an incident when I've been praying for you that I ever felt the Lord's like harshness. Never, ever. Always thunder. And when you see the Lord, when we see the Lord, he's gonna love you, he's gonna hug you. That's what you're gonna look forward to. The loving, he's gonna so look forward to hugging you and kissing you on your cheek. So one of the privileges I get as I intercede as a pastor is like the great, beautiful, beautifully unique relationship that the Lord has with God's people. No two are exactly the same. No two. So that's a privilege. So I get like an inside track. Like, oh, wow, that is just. And some are so beautiful, it's almost sacrilegious. This is very private between that person and Jesus. For me to get a glimpse, I go, wow, that's really beautiful, Lord. I don't want to touch that. I don't want to stare too much into that intimacy, Lord. So the Lord actually sees the heart of your beauty, and so allow the Lord to speak to you. What about me? Elijah, what about me?